We're holding on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Gimel Achim, you have three brothers, Nisuin Gimel Nachrius, they're married to three unrelated women. So here we're not going to have problem of Achosik or Kosai or anything, or Arias or anything like that. Or Mes Echad Mehen, which actually Tosafot says, for the purposes of the din we're going to be talking about, we don't even really need that the third one is married at all. The third one could just as well be unmarried. It doesn't matter for the purposes of the halacha we're talking about. Anyway, one of them, let's say Reuven, dies. But also Basheni Mimer, the second one, let's say Shimon, did Mimer with the Yavama, whereas we've learned before, Mimer is effective only Dirabanan. Umes, and then he died. So now the twist is that on a daraisa level, there's nothing. They still have the two women, Reuven and Shimon's wives, still have the same zika as before. And because they're from Shnei Batim, because each of them was from a different family, from a different husband, then Levi would be doing yibum with both of them. However, midrabanan, we have an issue that one of them is what's called what the Gemara is going to call Eishes Shnei Mesim. The Mishnah itself is going to say that she has the zika of two yavamim because she has the zika left over from Reuven because he was her husband, and that zika hasn't yet been removed by a full yibum. All that was done was minor. So the second woman also, Shimon's wife, also has a zika from Shimon only. So now what happens is, therefore, because now they're tsaros through the mimer, so now both the first and the second one, harei lecholtes v'lo misyabmes, they're going to need chalitza, not yibum. Because again, one of them has two zikas on her. The fact that Shimon's wife is her tzara means that both of them are in the same situation. So therefore, so as usual, when we have that deraisa, you could do yibum, but derabanan you can't. Then they have to do chalitza, not yibum. Shenema, the pasuk is a meis acha mehen. Yeah.
The question is, how can the rabbanon really destroy mitzvah deraisa? Because with their zika, they're preventing someone from making yibum.
Because the fact is, you still have a mitzvah of chalitza as well. So that's how it is. Whenever you have a case where deraisa yibum would be possible, and because of something derabbanon, where this isn't the first time we've come across that. What about, for example, think of we had the cases of the shnias. We had the cases, we had all kinds of cases where...
Well, that doesn't mean that it's...
Well, that's
that
what
doesn't
means.
Mean that it's...
The Chachamim have the ability to tell you when there's a Shev Val Taseh. We're going to discuss this extensively later in the Masechta. When it's a matter of Shev Val Taseh, when the Chachamim are not telling you do something against the Torah, but rather avoid doing something, then they have the right to do that. In this case, they're telling you don't do. In this case, they're telling you sheval tasa, sit and don't do the yibum that you would have been able to minatara. On the other hand, they can't take away the zika completely. We can't allow that Reuven's wife or Shimon's wife, for that matter, is just going to go get married with nothing, because after all, there does exist a zika on a daraisa level, and there exists a zika on the rabbanon level also. There's just a blockage to it. So therefore, that's when we say that chotzes v'lo misyabes.
The zika mid rabbanon is blocking the zika mid araisa.
Pretty much, that's what it means. But that's the chacham have the ability to do that when it comes to shev val tasa. Yeah. So shenema, as the pasuk says, meis achad mehen. The pasuk says when one of the brothers dies, yavama yavay aleha, then her yavam should have relations with her, implying shaleh zikas yavam echad. This applies only when there's the zika from one yavam v'loy shaleh zikas beis yavamin, not like in this case where she has a zika from two different yavamim on her because Reuven's wife has still a leftover zika from Reuven, which hasn't been satisfied, as well as a new zika created by Shimon's mimer to her. So therefore, the result is that she has zikas shnei yevamin, and therefore you can't do it. The Gemara is going to actually explain that this is really only Dirabbanan. This concept that we're talking about is really only Dirabbanan, that she can't do Yibum. But nevertheless, the Gemara is bringing a pasuk for it as seemingly as an asmachta. Tosfos actually discusses over here where maybe there are cases where it would be daraisa. Anyway, on the other hand, Reb Shimon Omer miyabim la'ezer sheyirtza v'cholot l'shnia. Reb Shimon says no. Levi can do yibum with one of them, and then he needs to do chalitza to the other, because we learned before on Daf Yud Tes that Reb Shimon takes the view he has a suffix what Maimer accomplishes exactly. Does it accomplish a new zika or not? So he takes the view. It's not a matter of that it definitely accomplishes, but only dirabanan. He says if the zika accomplishes that she's considered like she's married to him, so now it's as if Shimon has two wives, one who was formerly Reuven's wife, and one who was his own wife. If you say that the zika accomplishes that, then good. Then he's able to do yibum with her. If not, then he's still able to do yibum with her. So whichever one, Reb Shimon says, there's no eshes shnei mesim over here, because either she has a fully satisfied zika with Shimon, or she doesn't. She still has her original zika with Reuven. Therefore, so he can do yibum with Reuven's wife if he wants. He can also do yibum with Shimon's wife if he wants. Once he does yibum with one of them, then yeah, on the possibility that we consider that zika makes it, that they were two tsareis, then he's done now yibum with one woman from this bias. Therefore, he can't do the other. Therefore, Reb Shimon would say that yes, he has to do chalitza with the second one just to be on the safe side to satisfy her potential zika. But he could do yibum with one of them, because according to him the whole thing is a suffix. So the Gemara says the izikas beis yibum and daraisa. Now, if you're telling me that this concept of shnei mesim of two yibumim, if you're going to tell me that daraisa, and after all you brought a pasuk in the Mishnah meis achad mehen chalitza nami lo tiboy, then she shouldn't require chalitza either. As usual, when you have daraisa, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that kol she'ena ola liyibum ena ola lachalitza. Whenever yibum is not possible on a daraisa level, then chalitza is not necessary either. We said one or two exceptions to that, but basically that's the rule. So this isn't one of the exceptions. So if this matter, if this zikas shnei yibumin is daraisa, and we're bringing a pasuk for it, then why should either of them need chalitza? So the answer is Elamid Rabbanan. So rather, the answer is, you're right, it's only Rabbanan. So the pasuk is only an asmachta. Again, Tosfos has a bit of a discussion over here, whether in fact maybe it is daraisa, but maybe over here we would be saying that it, maybe we would be saying over here that because of the tzara involved over here, it's Rabbanan. Maybe if there wasn't a tzara involved, if let's say Shimon hadn't been married, And the question is only on Reuven's wife, maybe then it would be different. Maybe then we would say that the whole thing is in fact daraisa. But right now, anyway, we're saying that that dirabbanan, they both need chalitza, because of gzeira shemayemu beiz yavamis abayis mebayis echad misyamis. Because we make a gzeira, otherwise people might think that in an ordinary case where you have two wives from one bias, that both of them need yibum. Let's say, for example, so let's say we didn't have this whole matter of Mimer or anything like that. Let's say to begin with, Shimon had two wives, call them Sara and Miriam, and he died. So now when his brother is doing Yibum, we would think mistakenly that he has to do Yibum with both of them. And in fact, that's not so. He does Yibum with one of them, and if he were to try to do Yibum with the other one, he would be Oiran and Issur Kares, because the other one is also to him as his brother's wife, where there's no Yibum, as usual. So therefore, because of that, is why we say that midaraisa, in other words, in the case that we're talking about over here, where they were married originally to two separate brothers, then he would be able to do yibum with both of them. But did Abana not, because it might be confused. Once he did Maimer, it might be confused with the case of two yavamas from one house. So the Gemara asks, okay, still, what's the problem? The niyabim lachoda, the nichlet lachoda. So fine, let him do yibum with one, chalitza with the other. If we're saying, again, If we're saying that the matter of shnei of zikas beis yevamim is daraisa, then fine, there's nothing to talk about. But once we're saying that it's only dirabanan because of this gzera, so even in this case, let's do like Reb Shimon is saying, let him be able to do yibum with one and chalitza with the other. Whichever one he's doing yibum with, then fine, he's entitled to do yibum with. The other one, once he did that, then fine, people are going to think that you might do yibum with a regular case of a man has two wives, and therefore we would say the other one needs chalitza rather than also yibum. But why don't we say that? And the answer is gzeira shema yibum b'yisachan mktasei bonu mktasei cholutz. Because we make a gzeira, people might think that again, in a regular case where a man has two wives, that you have to have one does that one does yibum and the other one has to do chalitza. So what? Let them say that. And if she gets chalitza, the second one, how does that hurt anything? Okay, so she got an unnecessary chalitza. So what? The fact is that it's not also to do an unnecessary chalitza. So let people say that. Why is that a reason for the chachamim to prevent them from doing yibum, which they should have done daraisa? So the answer is the Gemara says imi yidim yabim b'hodo chalitza hachinami. You know what? If he were to do yibum and then do chalitza, then you're right; it wouldn't be so bad. The problem is he might do the other way around. He might do chalitza with one of the women first, and then do yibum to the other one. Now he has a problem. Now he's bumping up into the iser of asher lo yivne, which we've learned before. That Rabbi Rachmana Omar, that the Torah says, Kivin Shalei Bona Shuv Lo Yivne. Once he said that, once he did the action of Chalitza, showing that he's not going to be Boina, that he's not going to build up this house anymore, then he can't build up in the future, meaning they can't do Yibum in the future. So in our example over here, the one woman has zikas shnei yivamin on her. So again, the problem is that that's easily confused with the case where to begin with Shimon had two wives. Now, if we say that now if he were to do chalitza with one of them, it would be also for him to do yibum with the other one, because once he did chalitza for one of them, he patered both of them. At this point, now either one of them would be eishes achiv without the mitzvah of yibum, so therefore it would be an iser kares. So we don't want that. So therefore, it's true that if he were to do yibum, it's true that in that case, doing yibum for one would be fine. And then even if mistakenly he thought or other people thought that he needs to do chalitza for the other one, wouldn't be so bad. But the reverse is not true. If he does chalitza and then does yibum with the other one, then he has a big problem. So because of all of that is why the Chachamim made the rule of our Mishnah that when we have the situation is that Shimon has two wives, one of them his regular wife and the other one through Maimer, who was Reuben's wife, then we make a gzera that we shouldn't do yibum with either one of them in order to prevent such confusion. So the Gemara mentions, by the way, here's another din that explains why in our Mishnah we're saying that neither of them does yibum. Again, Tosfos says, after all, we did bring a pasuk. There are places where we might say that the concept of eishes shnei yivamin is daraisa. But over here, we're definitely saying the fact that neither one of them can do yibum is, as the Gemara is saying over here, strictly drabanan. Okay, so the Gemara says, Omar Rava, nosan get l'ma'amorai. What happens now if this brother Shimon, who did Maimer with Reuven's Yavama, what if now he gave her a get to cancel that Maimer? Now, we're going to learn extensively later on in the Masechta that Daraisa, of course, a get with the Yavama doesn't do anything because they have to do Yibum. There's only possibilities of Yibum or Chalitza. Dirabanan, though, there is the concept where he could give the Yavama a get and it has a certain effect. And then within that, there are two different kinds of, there are two different purposes for which he could be giving her the get. He could be giving her the get saying that it's for the purpose just of canceling the mimer that he did, or there could be where he gives the get intending to actually break the zika with it. So it's called get l'ma'amoroi or get l'zikosa. So here, nosan get l'ma'amoroi, if Shimon had done mimer with this woman, with Reuven's wife, and now he gave her a get to cancel that mimer, and then he dies, then her tzara, her potential tzara, that is, meaning Shimon's own wife, is in fact mutter to do yibum. Because, in other words, because what do we have? In effect, the problem was created, the problem for her was created by the mimer to Reuven's wife. Now that that mimer has been removed by the get, then we're back to the way it was before, where Shimon's wife is his exclusive wife, and there's no Eshet Shnei Mesim or anything like that. So therefore she would do Yibum in the regular way with Levi. Aval, he Asura, but Reuven's wife herself would remain Osir, the Mechlef of a Bala to get, because she might easily be confused where he gave a get for the Zika. Where there we know, if he gives her a get for the Zika, then he definitely passels her for her. Again, Drabanan, because Daraisa, get doesn't do anything in these scenarios. But Drabanan, the get. Drabanan, the get. If he gives her a get, having in mind that it's for the Zika, then it does have the effect of weakening the Zika, and now he can't do Yibum with her. So now, the fact is he only gave her a get, having in mind it's for the Mimer, but still, that's very easily confused, and therefore the Chachamim would still say that he can't do Yibum with her. But at least it removes the problem on her Tzara, because the only reason this other woman was a Tzara to her in the first place is because of the Mimer. No Mimer. Once the Mimer's been removed, then we're back to the original status. Okay, Ikadamri, then there's another version. Amar Rava, Nasan get the Ma'amorai, Hutra Filuhi. Another version is that Rava says that no, actually, if he gives a get for his Mimer, even she, Reuven's wife, would in fact be Mutter to do Yibum. And that would mean, therefore, that both of them now are Mutter to do Yibum. On the face of it, it means that both of them are Mutter to do Yibum. My time, my Da'ovet Bashakle, because what he did, he removed. He created the problem by giving her Mimer. Now he removed it. So then we're back to the way we were before, where Reuven's wife is only Reuven's wife and has no tie to Shimon. And Shimon's wife is only Shimon's wife and has no tie and has no tzara. So therefore, we have two Yevamos from two Batim, and that's that. And usually the Rishonim paskin like the second Lashon, and that's what most of the Rishonim do over here also. With that said, there is some discussion among the Rishonim about all the ins and outs of it. Is she Mutter? When we say that she's Mutter, according to the second Lashon, do we mean she's Mutter even to him or only to other brothers if there are any? The fact is, he did give her a get. So maybe there's reason to say that she's also to him. On the other hand, maybe not. So the Gemara is saying over here, Hutra, which would imply that she's Mutter even to him. So among others, there's machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid about that, and different other Rishonim are on different sides of it. Then there are a couple of Rishonim who actually paskin like the first Lashon, that anyway she herself would remain Osir, and only the Tzara is Mutter. Okay. Mishnah says, Shnei Achen Nesuin Shtei Achoyas, if you have two brothers married to two sisters. Now, of course, we know, therefore, that each one, we know when one of them dies, the other one is going to be also to him as Achoyas Ishtei. But the twist over here is Meis Echad Mehen, one of the brothers died. But then the second one's wife died. So we touched on this the other day when we had on Daf Lamed, the Mishnah over there, the Omud, when we had Lamed Omud Aleph, when we had the Omud over there with four Mishnayos on it. So we touched on this case. So the point is, once his wife dies, then her sister is Mutter to him, because a sister is only Osir as long as the wife is alive. So now, if Shimon died, and then afterwards Reuven's wife died, who is Shimon's wife's sister, nevertheless, Harezu Asura Olavai Lomis, nevertheless, Shimon's wife remains Osir to him forever, Hoyo Vanessa Olav Shah Achas, because she was Osir to him for a certain amount of time. Because when Shimon died, she was Osir to Reuven, because at that point, Reuven's wife was still alive, and Shimon's wife was Achos Ishtoi, so now she doesn't become Mutter just because his own wife died. So the Gemara asks, Pshita. Well, obviously, why, we already know that from the Udiyah Mishnayos. Hashta, let's consider a Kavachomer. Ma doch in the Udiyah cases, on Daf Lamed, when we had, in particular, we had the case over there involving three brothers, where two of them were married to sisters and the third one to an unrelated woman. And we had the case over there that the Nosri Nochris died. We said that the one who was married to the unrelated woman died, and one of the brothers who's married to one of the sisters did yibum with his wife. and we said that the diagram for this was diagram 153. Diagram 152, where Shimon, who was married to one of the sisters, died. Levi did yibum with his wife. It's diagram 154, rather. So Shimon died. Levi did yibum with Shimon's wife Leah. Then Reuven's wife died. And Levi died, and we said that nevertheless Reuven is still also to do yibum with Leah or with her tzara, because again at the time of Nefila, at the time when she fell to yibum, she was also to him because his wife was still alive over there, and that was Nefila Rishona. Now, even though when you think about it, in that case you didn't even have Leah wasn't completely rejected for yibum. After all, she was still available for yibum to Levi, and Levi duly did yibum with her. So ma hosam le mitchi mehai beis alagamri madach. In that case, in that mishnah on daf lamed, in that mishnah on lamed amud aleph, it was the third mishnah over there. She's not completely pushed away from this household, meaning that Leah, Shimon's wife, is not completely excluded from Yibum. She's not available to Reuven because she's his wife's sister, but she is completely available to Levi. And yet, Amrit Loi, and yet we say that after Levi dies, then she's still off limits to Reuven because Rochel was alive at the time of the first Nefila. Hocha over here, the Kamidchi Mahai Beis Alagamri. Here we're talking in our Mishnah, there were only two brothers. So of course, as soon as Shimon dies, of course she's off limits to Reuven because his wife, her sister, is still alive. So Loi Koshkein, how much more so that she's also? And the Gemara says, you're right. Tana Beresha. So the Gemara gives a similar answer to the way it did about why we needed all those Mishnayas and Daf Lamed, where to begin with, the Tana taught what we have in our Mishnah. And he thought that in that case, in diagram 154, then Leah should in fact be mutter for Yibum, because after all, at the time of Nefila Shnia, by the time Levi dies, she's already, and then she's up for Yibum a second time, she's already on the face of it mutter to Reuven because Rachel, her sister, is dead. And yet, so he thought that she's mutter. Later on, the Tana figured out that even in that case, she's osir because she was osir at the time of the first Nefila. So because now this that he didn't know before and now he discovered was precious to him, therefore he put it earlier. That's why that was the third Mishnah on Lamed Amud Aleph. And then only then comes our Mishnah, which is the lesser chiddush, which is what he realized all along. And as we said before, Mishnah Lezazim and Mekayma, the Mishnah doesn't move from its place. Once he taught our Mishnah, then the people who were learning Mishnayos were used to learning it, and therefore it was retained in the Mishnayos over here, even though technically it's not necessary anymore because everything that we learned from it, we already knew from that Mishnah. Okay. But now the Gemara is going to digress to talking about a related topic. So now let's forget about the matter of Yibum for a second. This woman Leah is also to Reuven, we're saying, because she was his wife's sister, and when she first came up from Yibum, she was also to him on those grounds. Now, though, of course, also the fact is, since he can't do Yibum with her, then the usual rule applies. She's also to him as Ashes Och. She is his brother's wife, and where no Yibum is possible on a Daraisa level, then she still has the Isser of Ashes Och, that she's his brother's wife. So now the question is, which one of those would be in effect if he were to actually be Mizana with her? So Tana Rabbanan, Ba Aleha, suppose that now Reuven, it does go and have relations with this woman, Shimon's wife, who again, let's say there was no Levi in this picture. Let's say there was only Reuven and Shimon. And we said as soon as Shimon dies, then Leah is also to Reuven, because at that point his wife Rachel is still alive, and that doesn't change after Rachel dies. What if now Reuven is Mizana with Leah? So how many counts is he chayav? Chayav aleh mishum eishes ocham mishum achoyis isha divi Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi says he's chayav on both grounds, because she's his brother's wife and he's not doing a mitzvah of yibum, and because she's his wife's sister. Divi Rabbi Yosi, that's what Rabbi Yosi says. Rishonim discussed the question: Would that apply only if his wife is still alive? Would that maybe even apply after his wife died? So at least as long as his wife is alive, then he'd be chayiv on both those grounds. Reb Shimon Omer ain't chayiv on Moshem Eishes. Och Bovad, Reb Shimon says he's only chayiv on the grounds that she's his brother's wife. So the Gemara says, "V'hotanya Reb Shimon Omer ena chayev ela mishum achoyis isha bovad." Didn't we learn in a brayse? And now we're going to explain in the Gemara soon why it is, why each of them holds the way he does. Why Reb Yosi says that there can be two chiyuvim and Reb Shimon says only one. But anyway, don't we learn in a brayse that he says he is that Reb Shimon says he is chayev only for one, but the one is achoyis isha, not eishesach, like in the first brayse? And the answer is like kasha, kansha nosa chay v'achakach nosa mes. It depends which one got married first. If the brother who's still alive married first, and then the brother who's since died married, let's consider when Reuven marries Rachel, then her sister Leah is also to him as a chois ishtar. Now later on when Shimon marries Leah, so now she's already also to him. He's ready also to Reuven, and therefore, Reb Shimon is going to say that issur takes precedence. The fact that she's a chos ishtoi takes precedence. That would be the second brayse. Kanshan nosa mes va'achakach nosa chay. Whereas if it was the other way around, if Shimon had married Leah first, as soon as he marries her, she becomes also to Reuven as eishes achiv, where the only way to be mocked of that would be through yibum, if it eventually happens. Meanwhile, Reuven goes and marries Rachel. So now, the first issue that Reuven had with Leah was the fact that she's his brother's wife. So therefore, Reb Shimon would say that's the one that applies to him. So in other words, he holds ein issur chalal issur. He holds that once the woman is osur to Reuven in one way, she can't become further osur in another way. So the Gemara asked, Reb Shimon. So now let's analyze Reb Shimon's opinion further. Well, if you're telling me that there could be a case where the dead brother Shimon got married first, and then Reuven, his brother, followed up by marrying her sister. Now Reb Shimon is saying that the issur of achos isha is not even chal, because he says ein issur chal al issur, and he says that therefore she's only also to him as eishes achiv. The fact that the second issur comes into the picture doesn't actually, because the one issur doesn't allow it to come. Well then, kiven da issur achos isha lechayil. Well, since in that case the issur of achos isha is not able to be chal, kits yabim yabumi. Then why can't she do yibum? I can understand, according to the Yosi, she can't, because the fact is you have two Isurim over here. And even when one Isur of Eishes Och was removed, because we're talking about Yibum over here, you still have the other. But if Reb Shimon holds Ein Isur, Chalal Isur, then she's only Osur to begin with as his brother's wife. Now, once Shimon dies, that Isur is removed. Now you're saying that the Isur of Achos Ishtoi never applied, so he should be able to be Miyabim her. Which, in fact, actually, so earlier we had in the first perek when we were discussing the machloikas b'shamay b'shilo about uh, about the case of Tzoras Erva. So we mentioned Rava had given a reason why Beis Shammai hold that you're allowed to do Yibum with Tzoras Erva, and we mentioned this point of Ein Isur Chalal Isur, and the Gemara discussed that point about which one got married first, which Isur came first. So Tosfos Yishonim over there actually points out how does that fit with all Gemara over here? It would come out then maybe that if we're saying over here Reb Shimon hold if Reb Shimon holds the Svara, then it would come out that he would in effect say like Beis Shammai that Yibum should be possible with Tzoras Erva, and we know that's not so. So Tosfos Yishonim draws a distinction over there discusses over there there's a difference over there that Beis Shammai could say Ein Isur Chalal Isur, but in this case Reb Shimon is saying that in the other case over there where it's only a tzara, where there's no achos isha involved over there, then he would say that maybe Isur is Chalal Isur, or Tosfos Yishonim discusses over there, maybe Beis Hillel also hold Ein Isur Chalal Isur, and they hold that it's also for a different reason. So, hold the whole discussion over there. Anyway, the question is, again, according to Reb Shimon, why wouldn't Yibum be possible in this case? Given that according to him, you only have one Isur on this woman of Eshesah, and that Isur is gone because Shimon died. The answer is Amar Ravashi, Isur Achos Isha Mitla Toli Bekoi. Because what happens is the Isur of Achos Isha, Reb Shimon is going to say, is hanging there in the air. It's not Chal yet, but it depends. E Poka Isur Eishes Och, when the Isur of Eishes Och goes away because Shimon dies, Osi Isur Achos Isha V'chayu. At that point, the Isur of Achos Isha is able to be Chal. So therefore, he says it doesn't really go away. It never really goes away. So as soon as Shimon dies and Eishes Ochiv is no longer an issue, then the Issur that's been waiting over there in the wings, the Issur of Achos Ishta, comes in as Chal, and that prevents the Yibum from taking place. So Ein Issur Chal al Issur, in the sense that as long as she's married to Shimon, we wouldn't say that if he was Mizana, that if Reuven was Mizana with Leah, that he would be over on two things according to Reb Shimon. But nevertheless, once one of them goes away, then the other one comes and takes its place. Or actually, maybe not as long as she's married to Shimon, because then she'd be also anyway, as Aisha says, and then she'd anyway be also as Aishas Ish. But let's say Shimon divorced her. So she's also having been his brother's wife, and there's no Yibum over here. So now Reb Shimon would say that Ein Isur Chalal Isur. But if she was still married to Shimon when he died, then the Isur of Eishes Och goes away, but then the Isur of Eishes Ish of Achos Ishtoi comes in instead, and therefore he's still also to do Yibum with her. So the Gemara asked, "V'savar Rabbi Yosi Isur Chalal Isur." So now let's return to Rabbi Yosi. You're telling me that Rabbi Yosi holds that one Isur can be Chal on another, and therefore he says it doesn't matter which one got married first. Either way, Leah is also to Reuven on both grounds because she's Eishes Achiv, where there's no Yibum, and she's also Achos Ishtoi. V'hatanya, we learn in a Braisa. Over Avera Sheyesh Bashtei Misses, if a person was over on an Avera where there are two Misses based in involved, Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, a man had relations with his mother-in-law where she was still married at the time. Now, for the mother-in-law, he'd be Chayev Srefa. For Eshesi, she'd be Chayev Chenek. So now you have a guy who's Chayev both Srefa and Chenek. We can't give him both because you can only kill a person once. Which one do you do? Nidun B'chamura. So the Tanakhama says, You do the stricter one. Well, in this case, what do you call it? Srefa is more stringent than a chenek. So therefore, you're going to give him srefa because it was his mother-in-law. Rabbi Yosi, I mean, nidin bezikar rishona ba'olav. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosi says you give him the first one that came on him. In other words, you look at which issur came first and punish him accordingly. Vitanya, and we learn in a braisa, Kate said, Omer Rabbi Yosi nidin bezikar rishona haba'olav. What does Rabbi Yosi mean by that? So, for example, chamoise v'nasas eshes ish. Suppose that first she was his mother-in-law, and then she became an Eishes Ish, meaning that he married her daughter while she was an Almana. So she had previously been married, or maybe not even been married at all. Of course, she could have a child from outside a marriage, whatever it is. She wasn't married. He married her daughter, and now she's also Tamar's mother-in-law. Later on, she married somebody else. So now she was first his mother-in-law. She was first also Tamar's mother-in-law before she became an Eishes Ish. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi would say, Nidin b'chamosai. Therefore, we give him the punishment that would be appropriate for being mezana with his mother-in-law, namely Srefa. Eishes Ish v'nasas chamosai. But if the other way around, if at the time he married her daughter, she was already married, the mother-in-law, that is. So now, first she was also to him already as an Eishes Ish, and now she becomes further also because he's married to her daughter, making her his mother-in-law. Then Nidin be'Eishes Ish. Then he's judged and punished only according to the punishment of an Eishes Ish. It means he's only getting chenek rather than the sreifa that he would have been applied to, but ein isur chalal isur. So in other words, Rabbi Yossi holds that ein isur chalal isur. So what are you telling me, that in our case over here, where it's his wife's sister as well as his brother's wife, that doesn't matter the order, unlike what Rabbi Shimon had said, that Rabbi Yossi would say it doesn't matter the order, and either way he's chayav for both? So the answer is, Amar Rabbahu, murder Rabbi Yossi be isur moisir. Rabbi Yossi does agree that isur chalal isur when you have an isur moisir. So an isur moisif is when you have that other people are also in something as a result of this. So namely, let's consider, Rashi says, when Shimon married his wife Leah, when Reuben married his wife Rachel, at that point her sisters all become also to him as achos isha, but those sisters, such as Leah, would have been mutter to marry any of his brothers. Now when Leah goes and marries Shimon, so now she becomes also to all of them as Eishes Ach. So now you have an additional issur was created. Before, Leah was mutter to all the brothers. Now she's also to all the brothers on the grounds of Eishes Ach. So because we have issur moisif, because all the other brothers now have they have an issur in her that they didn't have before, she would have been mutter to them. Now she's also to them as Eishes Achiv. So now, therefore, that can apply to Reuven as well, even though she was already also to him before because she was his wife's sister. As opposed to, now let's consider, Rashi says, in the case of Eishes Ish v'Nasas Chamoisai, where she was first married and then became his mother-in-law, well, as an Eishes Ish, she was anyway also to everybody. Now when he marries her daughter, he's not adding, and there's no Isser Moisif, he's not adding any Isser, that she's not any more also to anybody else than they were before. So when you have she was his mother-in-law and then she becomes an Eishes Ish, sure, you have an Isur Moisif, because when he married her daughter, she's also only to him, to Reuven. Now when she becomes an Eishes Ish, then she's also to everybody else as well. So therefore, we can say that Isur is chal on top of the existing Isur, because it's Isur Moisif. But in the other way around, it wouldn't be. So that would be why, in the case of the wife and the sister, In the case of the two brothers and the two sisters, Rabbi Yossi would say that it doesn't matter what the order is. Either way, one Isser is chal on top of the other Isser. Whereas when it comes to his mother-in-law being an Eishes Ish or not being an Eishes Ish, it's going to depend on the order of things. And the fact is, Rashi also adds, you know, when it comes to that case, we're talking about two different misses. You can't kill the guy twice, so therefore we give him the chamura. Had it been a shogig, then in fact he'd be chayiv two chatois. So the Gemara says, Tena hecha the nosa chayiv achakas nosa mes. Well, then let's revisit the case. If Reuven married his wife first, where then Leah becomes also to him as a chos ishtoi, and then Shimon married his wife, where there now you have a new Isser that was created on her to all the other brothers, because now Leah is off limits to all the other brothers as, as,
as Eishes Achiv. Never mind. I mean, there's also the fact, of course, there's also the fact, of course, that she's Eishes Ish. But fine, let's ignore that for that matter. If when he dies or divorces her or whatever, then fine, she's not going to be an Eishes Ish anymore. But you're still going to have the issue of Eishes Achiv. So then, Migo de Tosef Isur, the Gabe Achim, you can say because an Isur has now been added to all the other brothers, this woman Leah is now Osir to all of them. So therefore, Itosef Isur, the Gabe Didei, so now we can add an additional Isur on Reuven as well and say that not only is she Osir to him as she was before because of Achos Isha, but now additionally because of Eishes Achim. Ella. But if it's the other way around, if Shimon married his wife first, and now you have the issue of Eishes Och on her, and then Reuven married his wife, her sister, my issue Moisef. Where is there the issue Moisef? Leah was already also to Reuven on the grounds of Eishes Ochiv. How does marrying her sister add an additional issue on top of that? Where is it? What is being added? There's no more Isser being added to Leah than there was before. Before she was also to all of them as Eishesach, and now she's still also to all of them, including Reuven, as Eishesach. V'chi tema. So you might try to answer Migoy de Itza b'kulu achvosa. You're going to answer that because now when Reuven marries Rachel, he's also not only in Leah but all her other sisters as well. Well, hi Isur Kolohu. That's not an Isur Moisif. That's a different category called Isur Kolo, where you have he now, Reuven is also in other women that he would have been mutter in before. And now, so there is a concept called Isur Kolo, where we're going to discuss later on what Rabbi Yossi holds about that. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yossi only allows for Isur Moisif, but not Isur Kolo. So Isur Kolel is where you have, in other words, like this. Isur Moisif is where something was also to you to begin with, and now you have an additional Isur that's added to other people as well. So for example, the cases we were talking about over here, where Leah was previously mutter, when Reuven married Rachel, let's say, then Leah becomes also to him, but she's mutter to all the other brothers, and later on she becomes also to all the other brothers when Shimon marries her. And that would be Isur Moisif. Isur Kolel is the other way around, is where there's other women that Reuven would have been mutter to marry, and now as a result of marrying this one, he becomes usher in them. So then you want to say that because he's usher in these other women, therefore that brings in a new Isur on this one as well. Well, that kind of thing is called Isur Kolel, not Isur Moisif. We don't know yet that Rabbi Yossi holds that Isur Kolel is also Chal. So in our case, in other words, so Shimon married Leah. Now at that at that point, Leah becomes also to Reuven because she's Eishes Achiv, and the only way that's going to ever become mutter is if Shimon dies without children. Now, when Reuven, at this point though, Reuven would be able to marry any of her sisters. Now, later on, Reuven marries Rachel, so that makes him also in all of Rachel and Leah's sisters. Fine. So you want to argue that that adds an extra dimension of Isser to Leah. But that would be an Isur Kolel, and we don't know yet that Rabbi Yossi holds of such a thing. Ella Omar Rava. So rather, Rava says, you know what, you're right. Which Tosfos says, I mean, so maybe Rabbi Yossi holds of Isur Kolel as well. And Tosfos' answer is actually, let's go back to that case of a married woman who then he married her daughter, Eishes Ish Benasas Chamosa. There you also have an Isur Kolel, because after all, when he marries her daughter, he's also not only is there an extra Isur on her because she's his mother-in-law, he's also Isur in all of her daughter's other close relatives. So that would be an example of Isur Kolel, and still Rabbi Yossi doesn't care about that and says that we just judge him with the punishment of an Eishes Ish. So that implies, therefore, that Rabbi Yossi does not hold of Isur Kolel. But then Tosfos goes on to discuss that maybe this fact that he's also in other women, in other relatives, maybe that's not considered an Isur Kolel because it's under a different category. He's also in them as a different category of, as we're talking about over here, where we're talking about, oh, they're all sisters. Okay. So Ela Omar Rava, Malani Olav Kilo Osir Shtayim. So rather, Rava says, no, what it means is we consider as though Rabbi Yossi does in fact hold Ein Isur Chal al Isur. When Rabbi Yossi said before that if he's Mizana with Leah, that if Reuben is Mizana with Leah, who is both his wife's sister as well as his brother's wife, and was saying that he's chayiv on both, we don't mean that if he did it, b'shoigig is going to bring two chataris. What we mean is mala ani ola kilu osa beis. We consider it as if he did two aveiros. In fact, v'ena chayiv ala achas. In fact, he's only going to be chayiv if he did it b'shoigig. He would only be chayiv one chatas. So then, what's the implication of mala ani ola kilu osa beis? Means nafkamina my nafkamina l'kovre ben reshoim gemurim. The nafkamina would be that when we bury him, we have to bury him together with total Rishoyim, meaning, in other words, Rashi explains what it means is the Gemara, the Mishnah, and the Gemara and Sanhedrin tell us that among the Haruge Beis Din, that people who were executed by Beis Din with the four Mrs. Beis Din, you have two of them that are more severe, Skila and Srefa, and two of them that are less severe, Hereg and Chenek. The understanding is that the more serious the Avera, the worse the punishment. Therefore, the Gemara, the Mishnah says over there that they had one Beis HaKvaris for the people who got Skila and Srefa, and another one for the ones who got Hereg and Chenek, because you don't bury bigger Rishoyim next to lesser Rishoyim, or vice versa. So the same way over here, he's not Chayiv Mrs. Beis Din, because both Eishes Achiv and Achos Ishtay are both only a Chiyuv Karis, but because he did two serious Averis, therefore Rashi says we're going to make him be buried next to the Neskolim and the Nesrapim, because he's a Rasha of the same caliber as them. Tosfos says no, that's not necessarily what it means. It means, in other words, that if you're looking where you're going to bury him, and you have other people who did one kind of Issur Karis and others who did two Issur Karis, then you're going to bury him with the ones that you're going to bury him near the ones that did two. In fact, he's only chayav one chatas, but the fact is two isurim exist over here, even if we say the technicality ain't isur chal al isur. So the Gemara says, Obit plugda. Now, this point of whether we have, of whether he can be chayav two chatas for this or not, do we say that in fact he's only chayav one chatas? There was in fact a machloikas on this topic. When we talk about Issur Kolel and Issur Moisim, we have a discussion. Zor Sheshimish B'Shabbos. Suppose that a Zor does the Avoida in the Bis Mikdash on Shabbos. A Zor is also to do the Avoida in the Bis Mikdash. There's a lav on that. There's no Chatas in it, Rashi points out, because a Zor who does the Avoida is Chayv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. A Chatas is only for something that's Chayv Kares. But there's also the fact that he did the Avoida on Shabbos, where the Shabbos is an Issur Kares. If he was a Kohen and he was doing the Avoida, he would have been allowed to do it, because the Avoida is Deicha Shabbos. But being a Zor, then not. So how many Issurim has he been over on? So Rav Chiya says he's going to be chayiv on two grounds, because he's a Zor who did the Avoida and because he did the Avoida on Shabbos. Bakapora says he's only going to be chayiv for one, because as the Gemara is going to go on to, explain that Bakapora holds that he's only chayiv on the grounds of having been a Zor, and we ignore the fact that it was Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Kofat Rav Chiya v'nishba, Rav Chiya jumped up and swore, Ha'avoida, I swear by the Avoida in the Bais Mikdash, Kach shamaiti me Rebbe Shtayim, that I heard from Rebbe Yehuda Anossi, who was the Rebbe of both of them, that he is chayev on both grounds. Kofat Bakapora v'nishba, Ha'avoida, Kach shamaiti me Rebbe Achav. And Bakapora jumped up and swore that I heard from Rebbe that he's only chayev one. The Gemara mentions, by the way, in Shavuos, now on the face of it, doesn't it mean that one of them did a Shavuos job? Either Rebbe said one or he said two. He didn't say both. So isn't one of them chayev for a Shavuos job? The Gemara in Shavuos says no, because each of them was firmly convinced that what he swore was true. So it's called, in effect, it's a form of oinus. In effect, the fact that he swore, and it turns out that one or the other of them is shvur was incorrect, in effect, is a shvur of an oinus, and he's potter for that. He wouldn't have to bring a korban had it been in the time of the Bais Mikdash. Okay, so now that we have this irreconcilable difference, so that we have one says that Rebbe said he's chayev on two grounds, and the other one says only one, well, his Rav Chiya ladun. Rav Chiya started saying, let's figure it out logically. Shabbos lakol nesra. It's also for everybody to do malacha on Shabbos. Kishahutra b'mikdash, when Shabbos is mutter when you're allowed to do malacha on Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash. Eitz Kohenim Hutra. It was only mutter for the Kohenim. La Kohenim Hutra v'lo Zarim. It's only mutter for the Kohenim, not for Zarim. Therefore, yesh kan mishum Zarus, v'yesh kan mishum Shabbos. So therefore, both the idea of Zarus and the idea of Shabbos would apply because the issue of Shabbos was not taken away for a Zor. So the issue of Shabbos is still very much in effect. On the other hand, hischu b'kapara ladun. On the other hand, b'kapara argued on the contrary. Shabbos b'kol nesra. Yes, you're right. Shabbos is also to everybody. But k'shu hutra b'mikdash hutra. When it was mutter, it's not just for the kohenim. It was mutter. Look at the place where it was mutter. It was mutter in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, of course, it is for the kohenim, but still, the fact is, the place where it's mutter is in the Beis Hamikdash. So, therefore, this guy did the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. He's a zor; he's not allowed to do the avoda. But we can't say that he was mechalal Shabbos for that because in the Beis Hamikdash, that kind of chilul Shabbos is mutter. Therefore, in kind of a zorus. Therefore, all you have is also on. Therefore, all you have, he was over on that he was a zor and did the avoda. Similarly, the Gemara is going to go on to bring a couple of similar machlokas in between them. After that, at the top of Daf Lamed Gimel, we'll start discussing what in fact is the underlying machlokas between Bakapara and Rav Chiya. So we continue. Baal Mum Shishimish Betruma. What if similarly you have a Kohen who was a Baal Mum? Where now, and he did the avoda when he's tameh. Now we're talking about a korban sibur, where a korban sibur is doicha tumah. So even if the kohen is tameh, he still does the avoda if there's no kohen tohar available. But over here he's a baal mum and he has no business doing the avoda. So again, Rav Chiya oimer chayv shtayim, Bakapara oimer ein chayv alachas. So again, they have the same machlokes. And again, kofat Rav Chiya v'nishva ha'avoda kach shemaitim Rebbe shtayim. Rav Chiya jumped up and swore that I heard from Rebbe that he's chayv on two grounds. Kofat Bakapara v'nishva ha'avoda kach shemaitim Rebbe achas. And Rav Bakapara jumps up and swears that Rebbe said only one. So again, hisko Rav Chiya ladun. Rav Chiya starts saying, let's figure it out logically. Tumah lakol nesra. It's also for anybody to go into the Beis Hamikdash when they're tameh. Kishahutra b'mikdash. When it becomes mutter in the Beis Hamikdash, etzokoyanim tmimim hutra. It was only mutter for koyanim who are tmimim because a baal mum is never allowed to do the avoda even by a korban sibur. Therefore, the koyanim tmimim hutra below the baalim mumim. So it only became mutter for the koyanim tmimim, not the baalim mumim. So therefore, for a baal mum, yesh kan mishum baalim mumim v'yesh kan mishum tumah. So therefore, the original issue of tumah still applies to this guy, he being a baal mum. Therefore, you have to get him on both grounds. He was over on being on doing the avoda as a baal mum, and he was also over on tumah because tumah to begin with was never mutter for him. On the other hand, hischu b'kapara ladun. B'kapara argues. By the way, Tosfos mentions why don't we mention over here where zor was mashamish b'tumah because the whole issue of doing the avoda b'tumah applies only to kohenim. So therefore, we can't say zor shashimish betumah because then we wouldn't really be talking about two isurim anyway. A zor, of course, is also to do the avoda, but there's no specific isur on him to do it betumah. Whereas there is on balei mumin because there is on the kohenim in general. So hischo b'kapara ladun. B'kapara starts arguing tumah lakol nesra. Again, let's start with the fact that tumah is also for everybody. Nobody is allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash when they're tameh. But kishahutra b'mikdash hutra. But when is it mutter in the Beis Hamikdash as a whole? When there are kavanas tzibur to be brought. Well, then, so it's mutter to everybody who goes into the Beis Hamikdash. Ein kan ela mishum baal mum. So therefore, there's only an isur on the grounds that he's a baal mum, but not because of tumah. Because tumah is taken away as a result of it being a korban tzibur. And a third machlokes that they have, zor sh'ocha malika. Now we know a chata sa'oif or an oila sa'oif, the way that they don't shecht him, as we know, the kohen does malika, he cuts through the neck with his fingernail. Normally that would make the brood nevela. Only by a korban do we say that that's kosher, and in fact the kohenim eat it afterwards. Interesting thing, there's a Gemara in Menachos that we're discussing. The Chachamim were concerned about Sefer Yechezkel. There are things in Sefer Yechezkel that seem to contradict the Torah. And the Chachamim were thinking of hiding the book away until Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Gadoin went and then reconciled and showed what the Pesukim in Yechezkel really mean. One of the ones the Gemara says there that the Chachamim were concerned about is Yechezkel says that Kohenim are not allowed to eat Nevelo or Terefa. And the question is, what does that mean? Does that imply that Yisraelim are allowed to? No Yid is allowed to eat Nevelo or Terefa. And the answer was that given that Kohenim are allowed to eat a bird that had Malika done to it, a Chatas Oif, you would think that in general, maybe they're allowed to eat Nevela, and therefore Yechezkel comes and reminds us that not. Any other case outside of that, Kohenim are just as also to eat Nevela as anybody else. Anyway, the point is, so now suppose a Zer ate this bird. So again, Rav Chiya Oima Chayiv Shtayim, Bakapora Oima Ena Chayiv Al Achas, Rav Chiya says he's going to be Chayiv on both grounds because he's eating a Korban. Because he's eating a korban and he's a zor and he's not supposed to, and because it's nevela, and Rabbi Kapora says he's chayiv only one. Again, kofetz Rabbi Chiya v'nishbah ha'avodakach shabaitim Rabbi Shtayim. Rabbi Chiya jumped up and swore that Rabbi said he's chayiv both. Kofetz Bakapora v'nishbah ha'avodakach shabaitim Rabbi Achas. Bakapora jumped up and swore that it was only one. And hischo Rabbi Chiya lodun. Rabbi Chiya starts the discussion. Nevela lakol nesra. Nevela is also to all Jews. Kshohutra b'mikdash eitz kohenim hutra. When it's mutter in the b'mikdash, it was only mutter to kohenim. La kohenim hutra v'lo zorim. It's not mutter to zorim. It remains this original issur of the original issur of nevela remains on the zorim. Therefore, yeshkan mishum zoros v'yeshkan mishum malika. Therefore, you do have the issues of zoros and malika, and therefore he's chayiv for both. But hischo b'kapara lodun, and then b'kapara started. And then b'kapara started arguing on the contrary. Nevela lakol nesra. Yes, nevela was also to everybody. Keshahutra b'mikdash hutra. When did it become mutter? In the bais mikdash. Ein kan ela mishum zarus. Well, therefore, since we're talking in the bais mikdash, the only ground to be mechayev him is on the grounds of zarus. You can't be mechayev him for the fact that he ate nevela because we're in the bais mikdash now, and nevela is mutter, and nevela of this kind, that a korban, that malika was done to it, is mutter to be. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll discuss. So what exactly is the underlying machloikas in all three of these cases? We're going to say that Rav Chiya and Bakapara are arguing within what Rav Yossi holds. So now this relates to. So we were saying before, Rav Yossi, we said, holds that when there's an isur moisif. So again, when you have other people are also now in this person or in this object that they weren't also before, then it can add a new issur for the one that was also two already. So we have the example again of Reuven who was married to Shimon's wife's sister, and we said that and we said. And that he's chayev on both. He's chayev for the fact that she's his wife's sister, as well as for the fact that she's his brother's wife, because Rav Yossi would agree on the concept of Isser Moisif. But we discussed, would he hold of the concept of Isser Kolo, where Reuven himself is also in more things that he wasn't before, and now we would say that creates a new Isser. So now the Gemara is going to be discussing that Rav Chiya and Bakapara are arguing within that. Whether Rabbi Yossi holds of Issur Kodol. So that's going to be the discussion in the Gemara tomorrow, Beth Hashem.
Shkayach, thank you very much.